You are now listening to the Mindful Mom Podcast, a show where we expose the dirty truth of motherhood through laughter, love, and your stories. Come along with us on this journey to become mindful moms. We are your hosts, Tati, mother of one, and Dayanara, mother of two. Let's get into today's episode.
Hey guys, back with another episode.
Happy Monday. So today we're going to be talking about the pandemic, what it's been like to be a parent during the pandemic, and kind of some of the challenges and unique situations that presents. I feel like people kind of forget that this is not normal to be going through a pandemic. So, you know, we just want to shed some light on some things you might be experiencing and let you know you're not alone.
Definitely. I would say it's been different.
For sure.
Diana's first birthday party wasn't a first birthday party that I would want because we were smack dab in the pandemic.
The worst of it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where people kind of saw it the most, is when it comes to like special moments and events, whether that be the birth of a child or a first birthday, people really realize like, dang, this is not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have more family. We're supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I think Ivy has had two birthdays. Yeah. Maybe going on three in the pandemic. And it sucks. You know, it's not normal, but I also feel like it's hard because we were relatively new parents when the pandemic started.
Definitely.
So it's hard to say, you know, for us, because I mean, we had only been moms for a year or less than a year.
Yeah.
The pandemic started. So not only are we learning about motherhood for the first time, but also dealing with this added stress of these unknown situations.
And just being home every day. And like, Tiana was young, so it wasn't like we were out a lot. But it is definitely times when we did go out or we did do something, it was just like, okay, well, we don't do that anymore. Like, we're stuck in the house.
Lockdown was very hard. Very, very hard. I had just moved out by myself into our first apartment, just me and Ivy. We moved in like mid-February, and you know, lockdown started in March, and so I had no job, and I was just home with my baby every day. It was kind of nice in the aspect that I got to enjoy my first apartment. Like, I wasn't, you know, always out or always at work. I was forced to sit at home and make those memories. So I say in that aspect, it was nice to be able to enjoy her so young every single day.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it happened like right before Tiana turned one, but it definitely gave me time to interact with her and get her to where I felt like she needed to be, like, you know, showing her colors and different stuff like that. I definitely took that time, and like when I did go out, it was like to get stuff that we needed for the house or like learning stuff for her to do during the day.
And as we started to come out of lockdown, I remember even we did a lot of stuff together, meeting up at the park, and like when the aquarium and zoos and stuff would open back up, we would like take them to do stuff like that. So it was also nice to get to enjoy each other's company, but it's also like you're in this really horrible time of obviously a deadly pandemic, like with this, you know, going around. Avi actually ended up getting COVID last summer.
Yeah.
So it's just hard because no matter what you do to try and protect your kids, I feel like they're so vulnerable, especially so young, because even now they couldn't get a vaccine even if we wanted to give them one.
Right.
You know? So it's hard to keep them protected. Plus, you know, they don't like to wear a mask, or they don't know how to wear a mask, and it just sucks.
Yeah, Tiana right now is to the point where she'll be like, oh, I see other people do it, so let me try it.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, okay, I'm over it. I'm taking it back off.
So for reference, Tiana is going to be turning three
this year. Yeah.
So she's two right now, and then Avi is three, going to be turning four this year. So when the pandemic started, Avi was 1.5. She didn't even turn 2 yet. And Tiana was a little baby.
Yep.
So we've been trying to teach them how to wear masks forever now. I think Avi just got to a point where she like puts her mask on, she can leave it on, it doesn't bother her. But definitely like that 1 to almost 3-year-old age range, it's hard.
Yep. And I feel like, you know, when you walk into a store and someone's like looking at you, it's just like, why doesn't your kid have a mask? And I was like,
you don't think I tried?
Like, she doesn't look like,
I don't know, dealing with the tantrums and all that. And it's like, you do have to keep your kids protected, but you can only do so much, I feel like. So we try our best and we're not taking them places unnecessarily. You know, now that things are a little bit safer for us to be going out and doing stuff, you know, we kind of go out all the time. But before, we were super cautious about where we took them and only if we had to.
Yeah. And it was like, we only took them certain places. We always had hand sanitizer, like hand sanitizer in the car, hand sanitizer in the purse, hand sanitizer on the diaper bag or something. Wipes, like we wiped down everything before the kids touched it.
A can of Lysol spray and spray down our carts before we went into Target. Like, you cannot care when it comes to your kids' health and safety. But aside, I guess, from those health-related things, we also wanted to touch on kind of the other aspects of the pandemic that people don't really talk about for parents, especially single parents or co-parenting relationships, and how stressful the pandemic has been on that. So, you know, when I was looking up stuff for our show today, I came across a couple of like statistics that were really interesting to me. So it says 48% of parents said their stress increased in comparison to before the pandemic. So almost half of parents have said that their stress levels are higher now than they've ever been. And then the second thing that I thought was super interesting was that parents are more likely than those without children to have received treatment from a mental health professional and have been diagnosed with mental health disorders 3 times as much as adults without kids during this pandemic, during the past 2 years. Those are like pretty big numbers.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I definitely did start seeing somebody during the pandemic because I was just going through a lot. And I felt like I needed to talk to somebody that wasn't like a friend or a family member. Yeah, like
a true third party outside of everything. So I feel like it's been extremely difficult because not only do you already deal with like postpartum depression and anxiety for me, but it's just like you throw in this aspect of being in a pandemic, being on lockdown, and also for me living completely on my own for the first time. That shit was hard. That shit was really hard. And I definitely believe that parents were more likely to seek treatment and be diagnosed. I mean, that just goes to show the type of stress parents are under.
I honestly can't say when, but I know it was in the time span of the pandemic. And one of the occurrences, I called you and I texted Miles, and I was going through it. Like, it was to the point where I just felt like I couldn't breathe. And not in an aspect of like me not actually being able to breathe, but it was just like pandemic, baby, life in a house. We had roommates at the time. So it's like their stresses, our stresses. It was just a lot. And it was just like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. And I hate that that's such a reality for so many people. That was kind of like a really big turning point for you, though. I feel like after that, well, okay, because we had always had talks about like our mental health and things. We would take the girls on walks and just talk about how we're feeling. But I definitely feel like after that point, you took it more seriously. And I feel like that's when you started to look for help.
Yeah. After that happened. I just felt like it wasn't getting any better. And it was just like, yeah, I would call and talk up to you about it or cry about it or whatever, but it wasn't helping. Like, it would help for the moment, but in the long run, would it help? No.
Well, it's because there's only, you know, so much that I can do. And, you know, vice versa. There's only so much you could do for me. I had to go to therapy. I had to get on antidepressants to really start to change how I was feeling and change my situations. I feel like friends are a really good outlet for you to just talk to in the time being, you know, and I'm always here to listen to you. And I know you're always there to listen to me, but when it comes to like heavy stuff like that, your friends are not your therapist. There's a difference between being a good friend and being a therapist.
Right. And so, I would say I was supposed to get on an antidepressant like forever ago, and I still haven't gotten on it, and I still feel like I need it, but I feel like, well, I've been going this long without it, so why get it now?
Oh my gosh, I used to think that way too. And I recently started, so I have started Lexapro. I've been on it for about 2 months now. I've actually been off of it for a week, unfortunately, but I'm about to get back on it. It's finally, my prescription is finally ready for me to pick up. But I used to think the same thing. And one, it's extremely hard to get on it. I mean, not extremely, let me not say that, but it's more difficult than I thought it would be, you know, because they don't just hand it out like people think.
Yeah, no.
You know, the way people talk about antidepressants, people make it seem like doctors are handing it out like candy. Girl, no, it was so hard for me to get a prescription. I've been off of it for a week because it's been hard to renew my prescription. My doctor was like, well, do you still, you know, really suffer with these things? So, but I definitely see a huge difference. And while I was on it, especially the first month, I couldn't quite say what was different. But when I've been off of it, I'm like, holy shit, it helps so much. And I didn't realize it until I was off.
Right.
So I feel like it's something you should look into. Where? Of course you. So,
it's just like, because when I was, so right now I am currently on a break from therapy. And, you know, my therapist was like, you really need to, you know, go to your doctor. It was to the point where she's like, you're depressed, you have anxiety, and you're not doing anything but talking to me about it. So it's not going to help you.
Right.
And it's just like, there's days where it's just like, okay, I don't even want to get out of bed, but I force myself to go to work and take care of Ariana because I have to.
Yeah. It's, man, they will make you do shit that you don't want to do, which is such a blessing, you know. But I also, okay, and this might be very controversial. I need to learn how to talk. Jeez. But I don't like when people say, oh, my child saved me. Yeah. And I don't like it because I hate the kind of like pressure that puts on your child. You know, like, oh, you saved me. You know, the second and the third, you're responsible for your own healing and for saving yourself. Honestly, yes, our kids force us to get up every single day because we have to. We're parents. We're responsible to them. You know, when we brought them into this world, that's our job, essentially. They didn't ask to be here. So we have to do that. And if that means reparenting ourselves, healing ourselves, going to therapy, then that's what we have to do. So I feel like the pandemic really amplified that and also really put a magnifying glass to how stay-at-home parents have been feeling for so long. I feel like everybody has finally gotten a taste of that, especially dads. A lot more dads are having this experience of being home with their kids all day, every day. And they're starting to see what their wives, what their girlfriends who stay home with their kids all day have been going through for so long. I think it also pushes stay-at-home moms to get more help because they've been thinking that, oh, this is just normal to feel this way. And now that these people who have never stayed home like this before are like, oh no, you're not supposed to feel like this. This is horrible.
Right.
They're like, oh, well, maybe I should go get some help. So I think it's definitely helped in that aspect.
It's just like you don't get a real view of it until you go through it. So it's just like that time when you were locked in your house and you couldn't get out and you had to deal with your person every day. It's just like, okay, get away from me. Or, you know, your child, okay. I know when I'm at my breaking point with Tiana, when I have a full week with her and I take every tantrum and every morning, night, everything, I know when I'm having my moment and I need to be by myself.
I think that's really powerful too. It definitely helped me get to know my child more, like you said, I know when those tantrums are coming. I know how to deal with them, but I also know when I do need a break. I think that's very important to be in tune with that, because if you aren't in tune with that, that's when people completely snap on their kids. You know, that's when you can create those really traumatic experiences for your child. If you're not aware of where you're at mentally and where you're going to be close to needing a break, like, okay, if she has another tantrum, I'm going to lose my shit. So let me go take care of myself. If you're not in tune with that, you know, I feel like that's when those bad things can start to happen and, you know, really hurt everybody. So it's tough, man.
Yeah. And it was kind of just like, you know, it's not something that people talk about much often. And it's kind of just like our generation has talked about,
like, mental health and stuff.
Yeah, mental health and just postpartum depression, because, you know, it's young parents having kids and different things like that. And I feel like that's where the conversation has come from. Like, before I had Tayana, I really didn't hear anything about, you know, postpartum depression. You hear about all the good stuff about having kids, but you don't hear about what goes on after you have your kid, what emotions you go through. Like, when I was pregnant with Tayana, but I didn't know yet that I was pregnant with Tayana, I was depressed. And I told her dad, and I was just like, I'm really depressed. Like, I was in his room crying, couldn't figure out why. And, you know, that's when he let me know that he was there for me and everything. And I think it was like 4 or 5 months later I found out I was pregnant. And then I went through postpartum depression, but didn't really talk to anybody about it. And, you know, when you go to the doctors for your 6-week checkup, they give you like this little paper to fill out. And it's like, okay, well, if on the other side, it's like, okay, if this question is answered this way, then, you know, suggest this. So it's just like, I just didn't answer it those ways. So it wasn't something to talk about.
That's very interesting that you bring that up, because I didn't fill that form out, honestly, the first time. But when I had a layout, I did. And that's actually kind of what prompted my OB to send me to a therapist and also put me on antidepressants. But the first time, my anxiety was so bad. I felt like if I answered the depression screening truthfully, then that they were going to take my baby away from me. So then I lied on the whole thing and I ended up not getting help.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, they're going to look at me some type of way. They might take my baby away from me. Like, it became this huge thing. And it's just like, I don't feel like mom should have to be worried about that.
Right. Especially with, like, everything going on, like, you don't want to risk your child not being there.
Yeah. It just makes it worse. It's a really horrible cycle to be caught in.
It just makes it hard or difficult to talk about things. And it's just like, during the pandemic, I have thought about suicide 3 times. And nobody except for you, your child's father, and my child's father knew about it. Because it wasn't something that I was talking to anybody about or dealing with. It was just like, okay, these are the 3 people that I talk to every day or I see or that help with Tayana. Which, yes, my family helps me with Tayana, but in an aspect of, yeah, like,
I feel the same way about my parents. It's just like, even with, like, my other health issues, not even dealing with mental health, it's like they help with the girls, sure, but they couldn't have a clue about, you know, what I was struggling with at the time. So it's hard to open up. I feel like, especially to your family, it's easier to have, you know, that openness with your friends.
Right. And so, you know, during the pandemic, it's a lot to deal with. And then, like, even in the past year, like, I know between us, it's like, okay, 2022 is going to be better than 2021 because our life went, like,
I don't know what the hell happened in 2021.
And, like, I say this and it's just like, okay, the start of my 2021 was good. And then by my birthday, it was the shit. Like, I just didn't even care.
Yeah. I don't know. It was hard. I feel like we were dealing with the aftermath of, like, lockdown and, like, strict pandemic you know, situations in 2020. So 2021 was like recovering from that, dealing with the aftermath of that and those like regulations and stuff. So
yeah, and it's just like the added stress of getting back to work and getting everything back to normal. It's just like, okay, well, you know, we had to do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, after being in a house with your partner 24/7, you know, small things turned into big things. And then, you know, you turn around and you guys are always arguing. And it's just like, okay, so how do we get to this point? You either realize that y'all are going through a lot and y'all deal with it, or y'all separate and don't deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, it's tough because, yeah, the pandemic definitely put a lot of stressors on people's relationships, you know, good or bad. So
backstory, last year, me and my child's father separated, and I feel like it was, we got to the point where we were around each other every day.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
And the small things turned into big things, and then we'll start a small conversation about something which turned into a big argument, then that was that. And I can say that I love him, and I feel like it's something that we could have worked through, but he felt differently, so we're just taking our time.
You make me sad. It sucks. It really sucks. You know, but that is like real life. Being new parents, you know, young parents, you're still figuring yourselves out, let alone, you know, a serious relationship where you're living with somebody, a serious relationship when y'all have a kid together. So it's so difficult. And then to be faced with quarantine and kind of like all those situations, because what I don't think a lot of people acknowledge with the pandemic, even though things are quote unquote back to normal now, you know, they've taken away a lot of the mask mandates and stuff, but even the smaller repercussions of it, how expensive groceries are now.
Yeah.
How hard it was to get our kids in daycare because, you know, they limited their capacity during the pandemic and it had a huge waiting list. Like, that shit was difficult. And it's like those little things that put stresses on relationship. You start disagreeing about finances, you know, going back to work. Okay, who's watching the kids? Who's paying for daycare? Like, all of those things add up and just affect everybody in different ways. But I think everybody has lost something these past 2 years, whether that be good or bad. I do feel like everybody's faced massive losses.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, you can decide to work on yourself. Like, a lot of people are big on self-care now. So it's just like, okay, what do you want to do, or what is your self-care to make yourself feel okay? And I feel like I found it, but I don't have time for it.
Yeah, and self-care looks different for everybody. I mean, self-care for me, I used to think, you know, oh, I have to go sit in this luxurious bubble bath for 3 hours twice a week. But that's not realistic for my life. And honestly, it doesn't make me feel good. I get out, I'm tired, I got to clean the bathtub. I wasted 3 hours of my life that I was supposed to be doing laundry or whatever. So it's important to figure out what works for you. But self-care is super important. And the pandemic highlighted that. I would say that's a positive.
Yeah.
You know, it highlighted, you know, the importance of self-care. A lot of people realize that they never had a work-life balance, that their life was literally just work. So when everything shut down, it's like, oh, shit, I have other interests outside of my job. I have time for those things. So what have been your favorite, like, self-care things to do, especially when you're really stressed?
The gym.
Yeah.
Which right now I feel like I don't have time for the gym, but the gym. And it's just like, I thought going to get my nails done or going to do something like that would be what would be self-care for me. And I'm just like, I'd be rushing to get out of there. I don't feel like being there. I could say during the pandemic, I have very much became a person that doesn't want to be around a lot of people. And it's just like, you know, I used to be around a lot of people. I used to work in a busy environment and it was 1,000 kids every day. And it's just like, if I'm in a nail shop or I'm in Walmart, I'm just like, okay, let's hurry up and get out. Now,
the small things become overwhelming.
Yeah. And it's just like, I can go to Target, but I know it's not going to be a lot of people in Target. Like, I can go to a section and be in that section for completely a good 15 minutes by myself and not be around people. But I feel like when people start coming around and it's a lot of people around, it's just like I get very anxious. My anxiety is bad. And it's just like, you know, I went out for the first time a couple of weeks ago and I'm just like, I watch it, like watch my surroundings, because just like all this stuff going around. And it's just like, I felt like I was able to deal with that situation because I was drinking or, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, outside of that, it's like, I don't want to be around a lot of people and I don't want to deal with it.
I definitely get what you're saying, though. I kind of feel the same way, too. I feel like the pandemic has made me fall in love with being alone. First of all, I've always kind of been a reserved person. I'm like the complete opposite of you in social situations. And so, you know, the pandemic's right up my alley. Like, oh, I don't have to talk to nobody. You have to stay 6 feet away from me. Great. So it's made me enjoy my alone time that much more. I don't know how people have ever done it. And I don't get people who complain about it, you know, during the middle of the pandemic. Like, oh, I should be able to stand next to you in the grocery line. Girl, no, back up. And it also helped, you know, with my kids, because then I don't have to worry about strangers coming up to my kids. It stopped a lot of that from happening.
Yeah.
And like when I was pregnant with Alea, I never had one stranger come and try and touch my belly. Meanwhile, when I was pregnant with Avi, random people come to me all the time and try to touch my stomach. That's so weird.
And it's just like, it cut out a lot of things. Even like the other day, Tiana, we were at the outlets and she was trying to run outside. We were in Yankee Candle because her dad was getting the candle. And she was trying to go out the door. And the lady was like, I don't know if I can touch her. And I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, I don't care. If my child is about to run out the door, just stop her.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'm just like, I'm not one of these moms that are going to spaz out on you if you touch my kid. I mean, like, if you're going to hurt my kid, then yes.
Right.
But if you're trying to help me out because you see her just take off, then hey, I'll take the help. I'm not a parent that is going to be like, don't touch my kid or don't talk to my kid.
Yeah.
Like, Tiana talks to everybody. Hi.
Oh my gosh. I hate that too. And I'm so antisocial. I hate it. She talks to every single person in the grocery store. And so then they think they could start a conversation with me. And I'm just like, I am not in the mood to talk.
When people don't say hi back to Tiana or acknowledge that she talks to them, I get irritated. Like, don't
acknowledge my child so bad. Yeah.
I'm like, don't. Like, when I see little kids talk to me, I talk back. You can't say hi.
Always.
I'm like, don't ignore my child. She was talking to you. She was being
so rude. Exactly. I used to feel that way, especially when she was younger. Now, I mean, it hasn't happened often, but I don't think now I would care because it's like, Avi, why are you talking so much anyways, my child? But no, when she was little, she was first developing those social skills and like people would ignore her. It makes you feel so bad for them. Like, why are you not saying hi back to my baby?
She's being nice. And it's just like, for the first time, we have realized that if Tiana does not know you, she's not going to go to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's seen somebody that is considered family, and she literally ran from them.
Oh,
he was trying to give her a hug, and she ran from him. Like, who are you? Why are you trying to touch me? Like, don't. And she like ran and grabbed my leg, and I'm just like, well, like, if you're not involved in Tiana, then it's no conversation or nothing need to be had.
I mean,
but yeah, I just feel like now it's just like, yes, you know, your family can come around more now than they could a year or 2 years ago because of the pandemic. And I just feel like if you don't take that time to be involved, then I really don't care what relationship you have with my child.
Yeah, I agree. Even if you have your reservations, I mean, there were people who literally would sit outside of people's front door and just talk to them through the glass door.
Yeah.
If you don't have that type of commitment to my kids, why are you here?
And I'm just like, I don't want Tiana to deal with what I dealt with. And it's just like, when someone's going to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to be there for this, and they don't. That's so, like, just...
unpredictable things do happen, but I don't allow those type of people in my kids' life. And then I also try not to do that as a mom. I try not to tell Avi that we're going to go somewhere. Like, oh, we'll go to the park tomorrow, and then not take her.
Right.
If I said I'm going to take her, no matter how much I don't want to, I'm going to take her. Because they also say that's how kids learn to lie.
Yeah.
When they're that little.
Like, the other morning, Tyler was like, Mommy, I want ice cream. I said, well, it's morning time. You can't get ice cream. You get ice cream at the daycare. She held me to it. I picked her up from daycare, and she's like, Mommy, ice cream. So I literally had to go get her ice cream.
Avi starts remembering now, too. I picked her up from school on Tuesday. She was asking to go to the park. I was like, you know, no, baby. Like, on Friday, I'll come pick you up early, and we'll go to the park after school. Friday morning, I'm signing her in at the front desk. She was like, Mommy, pick me up early today so we can go to the park. Like, she did not fucking forget.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, well, guess we're going to go get ice cream. Or it's like, she loves getting donuts in the morning. Don't let a morning go by where she doesn't get a donut, because the next day she will make sure that she is up and ready to get a donut.
And kids are way smarter than we give them credit for.
Definitely.
I love our little smart, witty, sassy little girls.
The pandemic babies. Tyana was turning over. Yeah. She flipped over in, like, the first month, and I was just like, hold up, wait. I thought I had time, because then you can pull off the bed and do some other crap. And I was like, hold up, wait.
I feel like Alea is truly my pandemic baby, built different. I mean, she had a little bit of advantage over her sister. She wasn't a preemie.
Yeah.
But she already be trying to sit up and, like, lift her head up, and she's rolling over. She already has teeth coming in. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm like, hold up. Slow down.
Thought I had more time, though. No. These babies
so fast.
Right now, them pandemic babies are something else.
Hilarious.
But that was our pandemic life with our three. Our three kids. It's crazy. We literally did lunch, and we literally had three kids under four trying to contain them. Like, of course, Alea is just, like, sitting there watching everything, but the other two be on it.
Nonstop. All day, every day.
It's like,
on the way here, I was like, you know, I was telling them I got them cake pops or whatever, and I was like, Mommy, we could have them after nap time. Girl, y'all was not going to take no nap. I wish.
Heck no. Trying to be like, oh, it's playtime.
We're watching them on the monitor now while we're recording, and they've already played outside. Played with water and bubbles, and they still have all this energy running around the room. So I can't. Ugh. We hope you guys are having a wonderful day, and you have a wonderful rest of your week.
Yeah.
We'll see you next Monday.
Next Monday.